This is January 27th, and the next meeting will be February 24th, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning. And I'm quite sure that the minds and hearts of most of you today go around what is going on in what is called the Gulf of this country and this planet. I would like to start out with making a basic statement, and then let us go into this in depth. But the basic statement, I think, is essential. Please understand that this is not some kind of a mistake. You know, God didn't have his or her back turned, and then this just happened. And now somehow things have to be made right. This is part of the way of the energy that is existing in this planet at this time, manifesting as it is. And I want you to hold on to and know deeply within your hearts that this is a very important event, and it has to do ultimately with the expansion of consciousness. This is not something that we have to forget or run away from. It is something that is there for all of you to begin to learn from and to deal with deeply within yourselves. This is a very important event. And every important event on this planet has to do ultimately with the expansion of world consciousness. World, global consciousness. The ability of this globe and the consciousness on it to make very deep changes in the way it approaches all of these events. And you, since you are a very deep part of this process, since some of you in this room have loved ones there, everyone knows someone probably that is there, and even if you didn't, the knowing of the incredible loss of life and pain and suffering and sorrow, not even to mention the financial ramifications. This is a world, this is a perhaps one of the It is a global event, and the interesting thing about this one is it's going to be played out globally, meaning that the television and the way that the satellite workings have been so situated, this is going to be watched by almost every conscious person on this planet. I'm not saying that everyone on this planet is going to follow this, but most of you who are in consciousness, whatever your mode of consciousness, whether you be on either side of the belief structure, whatever it might be, the world is watching. Now, the world is watching can be a very interesting thing because we have said it before and we will say it yet again, God uses everything. And I want those of you who are deeply involved in the situation to understand this from your heart, that God uses everything. And believe me, this is a maximum moment. Now, let us talk about you and how you, in your own awareness, can either make this a moment that is expansive for the planet as a whole, or in some ways is just not used. Let us talk about things that we have talked about before, but we bring them up yet again. I have told you that you have more than one set of eyes, that you have different ways of looking into the world and into consciousness. You have different areas within your body that perceive things differently from each other. Now, all of you are aware of your physical eyes and what you see with them. You are also aware, if you think about it, of your mental structure. And let us talk about in this sense of having a mental eye on things. You also have what has been called the spiritual eye. As you know, if the eye be single, then the being is full of light. All right, now, how does this apply to what we're talking about? You sit there in front of your television set, and you see all of these things happening. Now, unless you are fooling yourself tremendously, your first level of response is going to be very mixed. A part of you is going to be very angry. A part of you is going to want to be as vengeful and as revengeful as anything that you're seeing out there. A part of you, are you being honest about this, I hope, that as you watch, I want you to be aware of that part. This is not the place to say, oh, no, I am a spiritual being and I don't have any problem with this. It's all right to see all of this terror happening. I don't mind. It has nothing to do with me. Please step away from that and get deeply into that visceral cellular feeling that gets very, very upset. Do you understand? Don't run. And don't try to then talk yourself out of that. That is not going to work. So let us present what we hope will work. The first is an absolute statement of clarification. When I see those visual fields out there, I become angry. I become afraid. I become frightened. I become absolutely filled with anger and rage. I have visions of doing this and doing that and whatever it might be your particular visual. All right? Now, that is there. Now, some of you may not have as strong a response as that, but pay attention to whatever yours is. Don't overlay it in any way. Just become aware of it. All right? That's the first way. Now, that's the way the eye sees things, the physical eye. The physical eye moves out into very obvious patterns of observation. You see the way you see, the way you see, the way you see. This is the way you see. And that's that. And you are not going to change that. So let's just, for the moment, make that your known response. Now, the second way of seeing things, the second set of eyes, if we can put it this way, would be what we would call the mental. And that's where you run into the world of idea, the world of belief, the world of projection, the world of mental, the mental world. And now, all of you, now this is where you're all very interesting, because if you've been talking to other people that you thought you know rather well, when you begin to move into talking about this war, are you getting surprised? Because and it's not so much on the physical level, my friends. It's on the mental plane that you're going to begin to have to grapple. Because you see, you all have different points of view. Your point of view is your point of view, meaning you view it from this point. Very simple. And your view has come to you as an accumulation of every single thought, every single thing you've read, everything you've been told, all of those things in a one great wholeness presented to you, and this is how you see things from the mental perspective. And this is where you're starting to get into each other's areas of consciousness. Now, please, my friends, on that level, you see, you do not have to join on that level in order to make this a useful function for consciousness. Aren't you glad? You do not have to join on that level for this to be useful. If you get stuck there, if you begin to bang your ideas and your beliefs and your view of it, it's this way. No, it's this way, and we should do this, and we should have done that, and whatever. If you are going to push at it on that level, you are going to end up having a lot of mental headaches. And you're going to, I think, seriously disturb some very nice relationships. And I don't think it's worth it. Because this is not the level that healing takes place. This is not the level where you have to be in alignment. This is not where it has to happen. So please understand and give everyone in your life that same open freedom. They see what they see and they think what they think because they have been very carefully trained to think as they think. Now, if you were brought up in a military family, you're going to have a very definite stance. Whether you even like your stance or not, you're going to have it. All right? If you are brought up in a family that has been in the peace movement for a long, long time, or you have lived in ashrams, or you have lived as a renunciate, or whatever, or your family has, and so on, you're going to have been created a thought form that is very, very different, and that is yours. Now, if you ask me who is right, I will say, have you been listening all these years? Because, you see, We cannot go to that level and say who is right. We simply say you are who you are. To say one is right and one is wrong means that we say to you who comes to this moment with your learned responses that there's something wrong with you. That there's something wrong with you, that you have to fix yourself. Do you remember all that? That you have to be fixed, that there's something very wrong. All right. I'm asking you, please, to, as you become aware of that second set of eyes, that second pair of awarenesses, as you begin to be aware of your view of the mental structure of your life, I want you to begin to look at it carefully. It is very easy for you to have a physical, emotional, visceral response and say, oh, I know how that feels. All right, that's easier. But when you begin to talk, when you begin to get into ideas and formations and beliefs, if you would please, if you want to help, this is how to help. As you listen to yourself raising whatever flag you're raising, and, you know, making sure it's the right one, at the same time, please do that. It's entirely your right to be who you are and say who you are and think as you think. But if you would just please begin to listen to yourself. By that I mean to listen in a way that says, what are my deep beliefs behind these ideas? What are my deep beliefs? And try to get down into deeper beliefs. Because what happens, for example, when you're having a verbal confrontation with someone, you are not really paying attention to your deep belief structure. You're stuck on what I would call the more limited parts of your deep mental potentiality. And so when you begin to listen to yourself as you're hoping someone else is listening, ask yourself the question, why do I believe this? Where did that belief come from? How did I get that particular idea? I want you to take it and bring it closer and begin to inspect it so that you will be aware of where your belief structure lies, how it came to be yours. Because as you begin to understand where these thoughts arose, then out of kindness and understanding, you'll be able to realize that whoever it is that you're talking to came from a very different point of view, and their ideas are going to be different. You're going to begin to have greater ease. You're going to begin to have relaxation. I want to tell you quite frankly, to have all of you very, very tense, and in your words, which I love the vernacular, uptight, isn't that wonderful? Or even more, uptight and squeaking. I like that even better. It's a phrase that works. And it comes out of all of you. Do you all recognize that place within you? You see? You know, when you've run your car in a certain way too long, or you haven't given it enough lubricant or whatever, and it begins to have a sound. You know that sound in your engine? Well, you have it in you. And if you're paying attention, it begins to creak and give off those sparks. And you begin to realize that there's more at stake here than you thought. That's something very, very important. Now, that very important thing is that thing inside of you that says, this is the way the world is. And that is the issue I want you to think about. This is the way the world is. This is the way the world is. Now, some of you will say, this is the way the world is. They will always be fighting. It's man's nature. They always fight. There'll be others that say, the way the world is, the peace is the basic groundswell of all consciousness. And this is just a temporary thing, and soon we will know peace. Or you might be in the middle. But you have to know, please, deeply know yourself in this regard. You know, instead of trying to change their mind, will you please just try to know your own? You know, I know I'm asking a great deal, but please, to keep remembering that you are here this situation is there, once again, the mirror to bounce back your belief, your ideas, where do they come from, what part of your structure, and so on. And please, my friends, I beg you to not badger each other on this level. To not take up equipment, verbal and otherwise, against each other on this level. Because I want to tell you frankly, my friends, you're not helping. If on that level you try to make change, if on that level you try to convince and try to cajole and try to manipulate, you are not helping the vast sea of consciousness. Because we have to be very frank about what we're trying to do. Your job is very simple. As approaching this situation, you have one job, those of you who deeply want to help, And that is to be totally aware of the first set of eyes, the second set of eyes, and to keep very, very strongly in your consciousness that you have another set of eyes. You have what is called the spiritual eye. There is not just one. There are more than one. But let's just be simple and talk about it not in pairs, but just as the singular, because that's the way you're used to seeing it. The single eye of consciousness, that real entrance to the other levels of consciousness, that when you begin to ask, how can I help? How can I bring a sense of peace to this entire sense of chaos, my own chaos as well as the world's? When you begin to ask for that and to quietly soften the other two eyes, the other two sets of eyes, and to just wait quietly, you will begin to have the ability to see with what I would call the third eye of consciousness, which is that eye that perceives past all of the changes, all of the separation, all of the ideas, bifurcates and allows yourself a wonderful pathway to where the center is. Now, my friends, many of you are afraid to reach that center over this issue because you are afraid if you come to peace within yourself that somehow you are not going to be helping your country in this war effort. Now, don't respond now. Just go home and think about it. I would like to repeat it. Many of you are afraid that if you come to that place of peace, let us say that you have a child there, you have a loved one there, or a friend. You want to do something. And there is that part of you that says, if I am seated here in this place in peace, then somehow I am not helping those that I love. That somehow that isn't helpful. Beloved friends, I want to respond to that as deeply as I can and say that the greatest help that every one of you in this room or listening to this tape can possibly do is as many moments as you can to get to that place, to breathe peace into you as best you can, and to sit in that place as best you can, holding the entire situation in your mind and allowing whatever moments of peace come from you to move deeply and clearly over the entire situation. It is your peace of heart that is going to help the situation. It is going to be your holding to that steady center that acknowledges the incredible chaotic motion of other, not denying, not running away from. You are a human being, and you have been trained as a human being. And as part of that, you are trained to believe in and fight for your country. That is part of who you are. That is not an issue at all. I'm simply saying that those of you who can move from that deepest point of consciousness can hold it as many moments of the day and to just bathe the entire situation with that third eye of steady love and wisdom and knowing, that is what's going to help. All the rest of it, my friends, is absolutely natural and normal, but it's going to do very little to help the situation. There is not one of you who cannot find that place within, even if it's for a few moments. Now, those of you that stay to the ending and choose to stay for the meditation, we are going to have a very specific meditation, which I would like to also have on the tapes and on the equipment, because I want those of you who are very, very fearful around this, with very good reason, to have very quickly available a way to reach that space, even if it's just for a moment. And when we close today with that simple meditation, if you will find yourself using it more and more moments of your day, whatever the chaos might be, whether over this situation or something else, you're going to begin to find yourself more and more familiar with this place of quiet within you, this place that is accessible every moment as long as you have breath. And the reason I say that is it is connected with your breathing, and it is very simple, and we shall work on it at the end of this time. But once again, I ask all of you to realize that this is something important in the consciousness and how it can be used. And so let us talk about that. The way that most human beings learn, and the way that consciousness expands usually on the earth plane, is through observation. And with all of this magnificent television and everything in place, what is very, very clear, and what will continue to be very clear, is what war really is. Not idealized war, not the kinds of things that are presented to most countries, but the basic fiber of war. Do you understand? You're going to see it as it is. And there is this idea, of course, that Vietnam was some kind of strange kind of a war, and now this will be different, and there is no question that this will be very, very different. And I think that you don't need to spend a lot of time worrying about those similarities, my friends, unless that's what you wish to do, because this is very, very different. And the reason that it is different is because of the lessons that were learned deeply within the human psyche as a result of Vietnam. Every one of you that viewed any of that action, as those pictures were viewed before your eyes and entered your physical being through your physical eyes, you were changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am saying that you are not separate from those visuals of Vietnam. That you were not, as you perceive them with your eyes, as your eyes connected with the energy of those film strips or the movies or whatever it might be, as your eyes connected cellularly with it, you were affected by it, and it was affected by you. Do you understand? This is not the same situation. All that was learned, I am trying to say that those many, many, many who suffered so very badly did not suffer in vain. They did not suffer in vain. And that the deep lessons have begun to come alive once again in this country. And the cry is, it will not be like that. And the reason it cannot be like that is because as you blend your awareness through your physical looking at, things change. You know, it's very easy, and you all understand that the laboratory adventurer who was trying to discover something exciting in the laboratory, that he or she brings to the experiment something that very definitely affects the experiment. And you all agree to that on the laboratory model of consciousness. Well, the same model of consciousness is absolutely applicable in this terminology, that every one of you who had access either through reading or through seeing or through hearing all that went on in that time, your very being, your very cellular, mental, emotional, spiritual sense of being moved into and had an effect on that action. Do you understand? Do you understand? I mean, you actually affected it, and millions upon millions of you have seen it. And you have affected, and it is those few who went to that country and fought those battles that brought back to you the ability to make the change. And it started with them. It started with what they did and what they saw and what they suffered and what they knew. There are many ways to be a hero, and this is one. To come back and bring to your country pictures that say, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. And all of you hearing and knowing, you have taken this into you. I don't imagine there is one person in this room that is unaffected by that in some way. And now, as you move into yet another situation, you come with that as part of who you are. You bring it into your consciousness, you bring it into your being, you bring it into your mind, you bring it into your body, you just present it. And that is why this war cannot be the same. And yet again, my friends, if you ask why this war? There are many, many ways to answer that. But this morning, what I would like to say is that yet again, mankind has the ability to see visually what war is, to make the assessment deeply within. If this is the way it is this something that we want for this planet? And then you will make your choice. This is a very important interchange. And those of you who are frightened to look at the television, or you find it too difficult, or so whatever, I ask you to do what you feel around that. But please do not isolate yourself, because as you begin to hear, even slightly, and give back to whatever images you see, you will be affecting. Now, as you sit there and watch your television, I want you to understand you are not a closed circuit. You are not isolated from the scene that you're seeing. It is not something that's happening over there and you hear. And as you respond in front of your television set or radio or newspaper, you are affecting the situation by how you respond day by day. Do you hear? Day by day, you make a difference. There is no separation in human consciousness. You are not separate from Saddam Hussein. You are not separate from the ability to influence in whatever way. He is not a closed circuit. He is open, just as you all are. There is nothing but open avenues. Whether he chooses it or not, there is open avenue. He is open. And what you send, what this world sends to that country, and most specifically, not only to that man, because it's not just one man, my friends, those around, is going to begin to influence. And I ask you to be very aware of what it is you want to say. Because as you respond, eventually all the lines of communication are going to reach him. This entire planet is bombarding with a psychic awareness that country in a way that very few countries have ever been bombarded. Do you understand? I am saying that just as those missiles fly through the air and reach their target or do not reach their target, so do your thoughts, your impressions, move through the unseparated web of consciousness and reach Saddam Hussein. I'm asking you to use that information for your own best use. There are no closed circuits. And what is going to begin to happen as world opinion begins to amass itself, the psychic pressure on that country is going to begin to grow. What he will do with that is not yet determined. But I'm asking you to remember that you will be a part of the wholeness of things, of moving things toward wholeness, of making this event something that expands consciousness, if you will remember that you are absolutely an open field of consciousness to the entire event. I'm asking you to live with awareness. I'm asking you to be aware that as you take yourself off of that awareness and slip down into your mental ideas and your physical responses, which are automatic and unconscious, that you may not be helping as much as you might be. So if you will take it as your destiny, as a part of a world event, to make a difference in this way, you will begin to feel within your physical body a deepening of what I would call the third eye experience. And please, I do not necessarily mean that it has to be here, the third eye that you all locate between the eyebrows. That doesn't have to be the place of the third eye. The third eye is not an eye so much as an entire energy field of power and wisdom and wonder and excitement. It is that which is called the reticulata. It is that which is the web work. It is that which is called the grid work that moves out and connects every one of you. You are absolutely all connected. And it is along that network that these pulsations for awakening, for clarity, for truth, for humanity will run down their lines and reach Saddam Hussein, if that is your desire. You can run down any of your three lines of communication, and they will all reach him. But I'm asking you to take the highest stance that you know and come from that level, because, my friends, if you do so, there is a possibility, there is a possibility that that kind of intensity sent out, not only to him, but to his entire country, will begin to bring an awakening. Let us not have this just be a victory of arms. Let this be a victory of consciousness. That when it is finished, that there will be a level of consciousness set in the land, in the people, that will in some future moment begin to open to a deeper understanding of what is now considered to be the enemy. This is important, my friends. It is on that level that you will bring one world, one awareness, one consciousness. It's on that level that you make the changes that last. Let this not be done for nothing. Let it have a purpose. And I would like to suggest this as the purpose. Man needs one consciousness. Alive, dynamic, expansive, and above all, loving. And this is the way to begin. For some of you, this is displeasing. I totally understand. Do exactly what it is you need to do. You are who you are, and you respond the way you need to respond. But please, my friends, to whatever extent, be aware of what you are doing. Your thoughts matter. Your energy matters. This is important. Now, to fit this in with all of the other things that you have been very patient with all these years, you need to realize, please, once again, we're just telling you things that you already know. For some of you, the next statement will be unimportant. For others, it will be very important. I present it because it's real. I want you to realize that at this kind of stage of consciousness, the power of prayer becomes very important. Because what we are looking for here, you know, you all are very excited about the changes that you hope will be in place by the year 2000. And we are excited as well. So what we have to do is, instead of looking at this with too small a vision, let us please, as best we can, pull back and expand. Let us please understand all of it in its smallness, all of it in its enculturated understanding, and pull back as far as we can, and realize that if this is not some kind of a global mistake, if this is not some kind of a thing, you know, that happened when God wasn't watching, but if this is really something that is important for the wholeness of things, then we have to get as long a view as we can. And the best way, as you continue to understand about this, is to begin to run through, we spoke of it before, we'll speak of it again, is to realize that there are a tremendous amount of energy forces clustered all around this wonderful planet of yours that are really waiting to be called in to help. Now, we've talked about those helpers before, and let's talk about them again. Some of you find them so elusive that they have no meaning. Others of you find them very personal and very poignant. But whichever stance, let's just run through it again. Many of you call that level of consciousness the angelic, or some of you call them the archangels. It doesn't matter what you call them. All I want you to remember, please, in the next days is that this planet is not just hurling around in space without anybody paying attention. Please, believe me, when action such as this is going on, a lot of energies from a lot of places are paying very close attention. This is not going unobserved. Now, and I mean that in the vastest, most wondrous sense of this. I'm asking you to remember God. You see, do not get so small that you forget God. Do you understand? Please do not get so small with this thing that you forget God. Don't forget that not only God, but all of that wondrous wholeness that has a lot to do with what I would call the delightful parts of that wholeness are waiting as well. I'm asking you to begin to remember that with any great plan afoot, that there's a lot of help coming in that is absolutely accessible to you. I mean that you can begin to, I ask you, obviously, and everyone, well, not everyone, many of you will begin to groan, but if my first statement is, would you please increase your meditation? Those of you that are not doing it, will you find 5 minutes a day, you know, just 5 minutes a day, to begin to focus, to begin to get the focus behind. And what I ask you to remember is that, remember, visualization is one of the very exciting ways to make things happen on this planet. And those of you who are good at it, please do it more. Those of you who are beginning, please try harder to begin to visualize this planet absolutely radiant, bathed totally in some, however your visual system works, with light and power and love and harmony, both within the planet, going deeply within the sphere of it and around it, to make it alive. When more and more of you begin to visualize that kind of life, you begin to make it happen. What you do, my friends, is move away. What you're really doing is moving away from a limited belief and moving into an expanded belief. Most of you have very, your ideas of the planet have boundaries. You have ideas, you know, and you're told in you know, you have to learn where the states have their boundaries, and then you learn where the countries have their boundaries, and then you have continents and they have their boundaries, and all of these are boundaries, and that's fine. That's the best way to get to Nepal, is to know, you know, where the boundaries are. But when we're talking about world peace, when we're talking about this wondrous thing that we are talking about, we're talking about the potentiality of 2000, we're talking about the wonderful hope of all of this magnificence, we are talking about those of you who are ready to move out of a more limited, boundary-filled consciousness of globality, to move into something larger, to move into something vaster, and you begin moving away from your other belief structure by, obviously, creating something that's vaster. And as you create this vaster idea, in fact, even as you look at your television screen, some of you would be very good at this. As you look at the television screen, if you can superimpose in your mind on the surface of it the globe, radiant, full of life and power and wonder, do you understand? Just see how that's happening. See that radiant and so on. Now, please, my friends, don't get headaches trying to do this. If this is not your way, try something else. But something that is getting, what we're looking for is, your speech patterns say we want a global consciousness. Now, my friends, if you're being very honest, what you're saying is, we want global consciousness as long as the rest of the globe is like us. Well, why not? You have to start somewhere. It's all understandable. You know, I've told you all before, all of you are in a magnificently exciting and yet very difficult space because you have a foot in both worlds. You have a foot in the past, in the way things were, and you have a great many of you are beginning to put your foot in the future world, the hopes of the 2000, and so you are really moving between two ways of seeing things. So you are the outriders, a lot of the delightful responsibility. You know, it's like you're starting a whole new worldview. And it's truly expansively exciting. But you have to work at it. You know, you don't build your company by thinking about, you know, your vacations. You build your company by thinking about what you're going to do while you're in the scope of the company. So please, let's get the same idea going. What we're asking for is a tremendous acceleration of a visual understanding and seeing of the world as a whole unit, filled with aliveness. And at the same time, please, because there are a lot of energy fields that would like to help to the greatest capacity they have, if at the same time you can see this global aliveness, if you can see energy coming, and you don't have to specify, you don't have to say, well, yes, that's St. Michael, I can tell, and it's, you know, just if that's your way, fine, but just allow energy to be moving, the aliveness, the rambunctious energy, and you all know what rambunctious, alive, loving, powerful energy would feel like, don't you? Is there anyone who can't imagine it? I'm asking a question. Is there anyone who can't imagine it? All right. Then you know. And if you can imagine it, then it is yours. If you can imagine it, it is absolute potential for you. Absolutely no question about it. So please, as you begin to see this rambunctious play of power and wonder just filling the planet and moving around, what you're going to do, of course, not only are you going to help to build this vaster thought form, which then, or belief structure, or whatever we want to talk about it, you know, energy follows thought. Imagine that. Energy follows thought, right? So as energy begins to follow thought, as more and more of you begin to do this daily, over and over yet again. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for the planet. Just stop once an hour, do it. If you can't do it then, once a day, whatever. Please, my friends, it matters. What you're doing is forming a wonderful thought form of consciousness that's going to move out and is going to make a difference. People are going to feel it. The most unlikely people are going to begin to feel it. You know, someone sitting somewhere in the vast savanna, somewhere under a baobab tree, is going to just sit there, and all of a sudden, it's going. I'm very literal. It's going to. Well, what it would be like if we had that? I wonder. And then back to the tribe. And well, what if we had that? And what do you mean if we had that? And, you know, it's going to begin. It's going to get deeply into the recesses. But it begins with people who want to make the thought form real. Now, I'm not asking you to go into all of the mental ramifications of what that means. That is on the mental plane, that's idea. Again and again, let us use the power of the third eye, now bringing in the power of the mental plane. You know, that's the plane of the visual. Out of the third eye, out of the third level of sight, if you want to talk about it that way, comes the inspiration. Wouldn't it be magnificent to have a planet full of all that feeling? Wouldn't that be magnificent? That's the feeling tone within you. And then as you begin to visualize the planet, you bring it to that second level. Do you understand? Now, as you bring it to the second level, which is the mental level, at the same time, and this is the way all thought forms work, at the same time you bring it down to the physical level. If it begins from that deepest part of you, that all-seeing, knowing, spiritual eye of consciousness, it starts there, it moves into the mental imagery world, you bring it through your imagery, and then finally, as you begin to do it day after day, you are going to begin to feel that energy in your body. You are going to find that perhaps the most interesting part of your day is when you stop to visualize this wonderful motion. You're going to feel uplifted, no matter what happens. Let us say you have turned off the television set. Stop, my friends, and do it. Please, you awaken in the morning, do it. Whatever you do, do this again and yet again. And what you are going to find is that you are building an energy field within yourself. You know, I say again and again, work for God, he always pays his bills. Now, what do I mean? I obviously do not mean necessarily what you mean by paying your bills. But what I mean in this regard is that when you begin to work for global peace, global love, global harmony, which I want you to know absolutely is the destiny of this planet, absolutely is the destiny of this planet. When you begin to make that more real, to bring that into the concrete world of consciousness, what you are doing is precisely, in your words, the will of God. Remember this, consciousness always moves, toward love. Consciousness, left alone, always moves toward love. Always. Always moves toward expansion and harmony. Always. And as you begin to play with these images, as you begin to put your body and your mind and your emotions into alignment with that harmony, the way that you get your bills paid is that you will begin to feel that. That which you are hoping for and praying for and giving to the world is what you will begin to receive for yourself. My greatest difficulty in working with human consciousness at this time is your unwillingness to take care of yourselves. Is your unwillingness to turn your mind off of other and begin to do for yourself. If you had a loved one who was ill, and you know that if every half hour you focused your love on that loved one would recover. If you knew that, would you not set your clock? Would you not set your clock through the night, through the early morning, into the dawn, through the day? Would you not? Absolutely. But will you do this for yourself? Perhaps not. I'm asking you to realize that the gifts of God are right here. Right here in the kind of action that we are asking for you in these next weeks and months. This kind of action. Please. As you give to others, so you receive. It is the law. As you hold this planet in your heart for love and harmony and the wonderful excitement of humankind aligned, when you hold your heart that way, your heart will begin to fill. Your energy will begin to move. You will become that which you are giving. You and it will be one. God never asks you to do anything, anything that does not increase the love in your heart, the harmony in your awareness, and the compassion of your being. It's just not possible. And what we're asking for today is something very specific. Please, as you give in these next few weeks and months, so will you receive. Deeply. We need you. We need you. So, help. I would like to close this now, and as far as the dialogue is concerned, and move to the meditation. So, those of you who would wish to leave and not have the meditation, with as little fuss as possible, would you leave and then we'll take it up when things have settled down. All right. Remember, that which you seek is closer than hands and feet. If you would please, I will give the directive, and then we will do the meditation. This is a very, very, very old technique that has as its aim total and complete enlightenment. And it is so simple that, of course, it has been passed by. But I present it again, not newly, because we've presented it before. But many of you perhaps have not heard it. And the basic understanding that it rests upon is this: that part of you that you have absolutely no control over is your breath. It is the gift of God. And as you turn your awareness to your breath, because it is historically the way that most of you have done it for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, the body will begin to relax because it realizes that when you begin to pay attention to the breath, it means that you've moved away from your mental framework. You've chosen to move away from your mind. You said, I'll pick those up later. As in the wonderful North American Indian tradition, you go into the sweat lodge and you leave your ego outside. Well, so this is going into the lodge, the inner lodge, the lodge within. And as you go in there, all that you need to be aware of, please, is your breath. You will find that you begin to lose body sensation. You will begin to move away from thought. You'll simply be in alignment with your breath. Now, this is a very simple technique. This is the way it is easiest described. As you take in your in-breath, most of you will find that you probably are not aware of how you breathe. But many of you perhaps breathe simply from the chest area. Those of you who sing, who dance, who do other things, you know that it's best to breathe from down here, down in the abdomen. So what you do, please, my friends, is with your in-breath, you put your right hand or left, whichever, on the abdomen, and you just feel that part of you rise up very slightly. You don't push it. It's not as if you're going to fill a balloon and explode it. It's just very gentle, the rising. And then just as the in-breath has reached its point where you know it is full, that instant, right after the rise of breath, just be aware. Not the place within you that says, oh, now I'm holding my breath, because that comes after. But just as the rise comes to its one moment of peak, just relax. Be aware. Then, exit breath, it goes back out, back out. And once again, at the end of the exit, this is not forced, it's gentle. End of the exit, again, an increment of space. Be aware. In again, that increment of space, be aware. Exit, be aware. If you will begin this practice, my friends, you will find that that space gets longer and longer and longer. Please do not be afraid of passing out. If you're that good at it, believe me, someone will come to teach you how to take care of that. But it's a very simple way. And it's in that moment, and then down. This is a 5,000-year-old technique, and it works. So, for the next 10 minutes, please. But before I go, I want to say to you that we are grateful. That we are grateful. That we are grateful. And thank you very much for coming.